It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week, we are speaking with best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday folks just like you whose small acts make a big difference in the world. We call them Better Worldians. And speaking of Better Worldians, let me now introduce you to my co-hosts Mary Sue Hansel and Gregory Hansel. Mary Sue has been a successful entrepreneur and business executive for over 30 years. She's also an avid practitioner of the healing arts, positive psychology, and spirituality. And now here's my life partner, Mary Sue.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here with you today to share all the good that's being done in the world. Now, let me also introduce Gregory Hansel. Gregory has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, this is Greg. Thank you all for joining us today here on Better Worldians Radio. Let me first just tell you a bit about my dad, Ray, who you just heard from. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and with Mary Sue took public a national marketing firm. Giving back's always been really important to Dad, who supports cancer research, disabled children, and disadvantaged families, among many other causes. And by the way, we're the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. To date, over 14 million good deeds have been done in A Better World by more than 2.5 million people. And in the month of March, we're supporting the Miracle Foundation, a nonprofit that supports orphanages in India. On this week's episodes of Better Worldians Radio, we are discussing the Ziglar legacy.
Joining us today is Tom Ziglar, the CEO of Ziglar, Inc. For nearly 50 years, Tom has immersed himself in the techniques of living a successful life and running a successful business. He's also the proud son of Zig Ziglar. Prior to being named CEO, Tom began his career in retail and direct sales. He joined Zig Ziglar Corporation in 1987, working his way up from the warehouse to the leadership position. Tom is the co-author of Born to Win, taking the Ziglar philosophy of personal success and applying those same principles to the business world. Tom, it's great to have you with us today on Better Worldians Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Ray, I tell you what, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. I'm excited.
Oh, we're excited just as well. Tom, let me begin by saying that your dad was loved, as you know, by a lot of people. What was it like to be raised by Zig Ziglar?
Well, first let me say, obviously, I don't know how any other way than to be raised by Zig Ziglar. Everybody has their own experience, but in my wildest imagination, I can't imagine it being any better, any cooler, any more fulfilling than having Dad as my father. He was amazing as a writer and a speaker, and if you heard him speak, he could really move people, and if you ever talked to him one-on-one, you felt like you were the only person in the room. But as good as he was on stage, he was even better at home. One of my friends said, your dad walks his talk, and he's a really good talker. And I tell you what, that is the truth. I've always felt loved. I knew that he honored God first and my mom second, and for a kid to grow up, there's not a better combination in the world to give, that sense of peace, hope, and security.
That's amazing. What a blessing. And you said your dad told you that you could do whatever you wanted with your life, as long as you did it with 100% integrity and 100% effort. So what did that advice mean to you?
Well, people ask that all the time, because if you grow up in a family business, a lot of times the expectation is that you go into the family business. And Dad being a speaker, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. This is my opinion, but a lot of people agree there's probably never been a better speaker than Dad. And he told me that over and over again because he wanted me to know that whatever I decided to go into, whether it was golf or to be an artist or to be in sales or whatever it was, he was 100% behind me as long as I did it with integrity and effort. And that just gave me a comfort to know that, you know, there are so many worthwhile things that we can do as people. You know, Dad just admired an honest day's work. It didn't matter if it was the guy cutting the yard or serving us at dinner or, you know, building an empire with his business. He admired that person who put in that effort as long as they did it with integrity. And integrity for Dad was a big word because it wasn't just a win-win. It was a win-win-win-win proposition where the business would win, the salespeople would win, the owners would win, the community would win, and the customer would win. So that allowed me to really kind of stretch out and figure out, you know, what's important for me to do. And then when I decided, I knew that I had his support, and that was huge.
That must have been very, very huge. Now, you've been part of the Ziegler organization since 1987, and starting in the warehouse and then working your way up. So tell us about that experience.
Well, people ask how long I've been working here, and I tell them 49 years, because I was, like I said, I was born into it. But when I got out of college, I came to work here immediately. I'd just gotten married, and along with marriage comes responsibility, and responsibility usually means you need to have an income. So I worked in the warehouse, and then I worked in production. We used to do our own audio and video cassette duplication. I did that for about a year, and then I moved into sales, and then sales management and promotion, and then I guess about 19 years ago, I became the president. And walking through each one of those areas, it really is a good plan for anyone to understand how in an organization, if you mess up in any one area, you're going to have disappointed people. So that means that every role, every person is important. And I kind of learned it by doing it. And, you know, I moved into the leadership role as president when I was 30. People thought I was ready, and for the most part, I proved them right, but sometimes I proved them wrong. So there's a lot of wisdom that comes with age, and when you're 30, you don't understand it. But luckily, I had a team that supported me and have helped me grow along the way. And here's the good news, is not only is my team still growing, but I'm still growing, and we have the best. The best is yet to come, as Dad always said. The future is in front of us, and it's looking good.
That's absolutely true. You learned a lot of life's lessons along the way. I can see that. But what did you learn about leadership from your dad?
I tell you, Dad, you know, Dad was an eternal optimist. And there's a lot of people who get confused with that. Some people think, oh, you know, that motivation, it doesn't last. You know, one of his quotes is, people say that motivation doesn't last, but neither does bathing or eating, and you do those every day. And when you do, you feel better and smell better, too. So it's true that motivation doesn't last, and then some people say, oh, you know, positive attitude, that's just a bunch of hype. Dad had a very practical view of that. He said that a positive attitude will allow you to do everything better than a negative attitude will. It won't allow you to do anything, but it will allow you to do everything better than a negative attitude. And so from a leadership perspective, Dad was always solution-focused. Mm-hmm. You know, a challenge would come in or something would go, you know, astray or whatever, and his first response is, where are we and what can we do now? And he had programmed his responses in advance. This is a simple illustration, but Dad traveled all the time. I travel all the time. I'm sure you travel quite a bit. If you travel enough, the plane's going to be delayed, the flight's going to be canceled, the weather's going to be bad, something's going to be wrong. And when that happens, what do you do? And so Dad already had it all planned out. I remember, you know, him at the airport, the gate agent said, you know, Mr. Ziegler, I'm sorry to tell you, but your plane's been delayed for 3 hours. And Dad would just respond, fantastic. And, of course, they'd look at him like he was crazy.
Right.
You know, they'd go, what do you mean, fantastic? And he'd say, hey, look, there's only three reasons that the plane won't fly. The weather's bad, there's a problem with the equipment, or there's a problem with the crew. And if any of those things are going on, I want to be down here. I don't want to be up there.
That's right. Absolutely right. Yeah. And isn't that always reframing it in a positive way. That's really amazing.
And isn't that the way life is, though? We get thrown curveballs every single day. And we can either react and go off the deep end, and that doesn't allow us to accomplish anything, really. Or we can already have a mindset that says, hey, there's a reason why it's being delayed, why it's being canceled, why I'm being told no for today. I just need to find out that reason and come up with a solution. And when that's your mindset, nothing can ruin your day, you know, especially on that scale. I mean, what's the big deal about a delayed flight? 99% of the time, everything's going to be okay. Plus, he didn't spend any energy worrying about things he couldn't control. So as a leader, that proactive mindset of, hey, challenges come, but I know how I'm going to address them when I get there. And two, I worry about the things that I can control, and I don't really mean worry. I mean, I just put my energy and effort into what I can control, and what I can't, I just let it go.
That's great. That's great advice. What are you most proud of when you look back on his life, on your dad's life?
Oh, man, the word "most" is a hard word because there's so many of them. You know, I think it has to do with what I consider Dad's number one quality. I did a study, and this is from a biblical Christian perspective, and I said, you know, from God's perspective, what's the number one quality we as people could have? You know, it's not what we want. It's kind of what, from God's perspective, what could that be?
Right.
And if you ask people, they'll say love, or they'll say humility, or they'll say obedience. And I found this word when I was doing the study, and the word was called brokenness. And brokenness is kind of like the ultimate humbleness. It's really that complete understanding that there's nothing that you can do that has eternal significance without God's help. And when you look at Dad's life, he came to that point and he said, God, I've done it my own way all my life. I've got nothing. Now I'm going to do it your way. And so from 1972 forward, that's how he lived every day. He just said, you know what, God, I'm doing it your way. And the number one attribute of a broken person, it's not that they're broken and can't be used. It means that they're actually a sword in the master's hand. You know, it's like they're totally given over. And so the number one attribute that you see is that they never worry. And so a broken person, they have two responsibilities. One is to have a vibrant relationship with God. And number two is to share the truth in love. You just share God's truth in love. It's not, you know, it's not a motive you have of yourself. It's just, hey, this is the truth. And so what that enabled Dad to do is he stood on the stage bold and fearless, right, sharing God's truth in love, because he knew that there was only one person he had to please. It wasn't the one writing the paycheck or the people sitting in the front row. It was his Heavenly Father. And so when you say, what am I most proud of about Dad, it was that that quality that he had that allowed him to be transparent, that allowed him to speak to anybody in any situation in love, and they would know that he was genuine. And because of that transparency and that genuineness, they'd go, huh, I think I'll consider that. He reached so many people that, you know, you would never think would be reached, and it was because of that brokenness that he had.
So he could speak with such clear authenticity. It just cut through everything, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, he could say things that were politically incorrect and nobody would get upset, you know, because they could just see it in him. And the testimonials that, you know, Dad passed away a little over a year ago, and there were 13,000 comments on Facebook. I mean, we got thousands and thousands of emails and cards and letters and texts, you know, saying we miss him, we're sorry. And the common thread with so many of them was their story was this: I heard your dad speak in 1986 or 1995 or whenever. There was 20,000 people in the room, and then I waited in line for 2 hours. And when I finally got to say hello to him, he shook my hand, looked me in the eyes, and it was like I was the only one there.
Yeah.
Dad just had a way of looking into people's eyes and connecting. He wasn't distracted. He was 100% focused. And, you know, what a a gift and a blessing that he had, that he was able to do that. And you know, I look at what we do here and what I try to do, and if I can be just, you know, a tenth of that, that would just be incredible.
Well, it sounds like you're off to a great start. We're really looking forward to this entire show. We need to take a break right now, however, and I'd like to offer this challenge to our listeners. If you know someone whose acts, no matter how small, are making a difference in the lives of other people, please, we'd love to hear about them. Tweet us at #BetterWorldians so we can let the Better Worldian community know more. We'll talk more with Tom Ziegler when we come back. You can learn more at BetterWorldians.com and follow our live tweets at Twitter.com/BetterWorldians. We'll be right back.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a Better Worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
We're back with Tom Ziegler, CEO of Ziegler, Inc., and the proud son of Zig Ziegler. We'll talk more with Tom in a moment, but first we'd like to share some big news here at Better Worldians Radio. As many of you know, we've recently launched a worldwide kindness campaign. We're challenging Better Worldians around the globe to simply watch a 2-minute video that illustrates the power of kindness. When it reaches 1 million views, we'll release funds for surgeries that will allow 10 kids in the developing world to walk for the first time. Watch the video. Share it with your friends at colorwithkindness.com. That's colorwithkindness.com. And now let's welcome back Tom and Mary Sue.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Mary Sue. It's fun being here with you guys.
You know, you and your dad wrote a book together called Born to Win. How did your dad influence your view of success?
Well, I tell you, you know, every child growing up, or you know, if you're blessed to have parents in a good household, your first role model for success is your parents or whoever's raising you. And I tell you what, he did it from the earliest time, and I remember it in two ways. One is, he always just made it a point to spend time, because you can never plan life's moments. You know, it's good to talk about quality time, but it's even better to say, hey, I'm just going to spend time with my kids. And so growing up and even into adulthood when we worked together, he just made it a point where we would spend time together, whether we were riding somewhere or playing golf or hanging out or whatever it was. Then the second is, whenever there was a teaching moment, he always made it intentional. And I remember one, I was probably 9 or 10, and we were out to eat. And this is back in the day before computers did all the calculation on your checks at the restaurant. And he was going over the bill, and he was looking to make sure it was accurate. And when the waiter came back, he told the waiter that they'd left off one of our drinks. And I saw that, and he kind of saw my eyes go up, and the waiter left. And Dad looked at me, and he said, son, we always look at the check to make sure it's accurate. And if it's in our favor, if they made a mistake in our favor, we tell them. And if they make a mistake in their favor, we tell them. Because he said this. He said, what's right is right. And that always stuck with me. And he lived every day by, it's not who is right, it's what is right. And so my view of success was found in that early thing, that what's right is right, and successful people do what's right. It's not about what the world thinks of success as far as money or fame or influence. It has to do with day in and day out, what's the amount of character and integrity you live with. So that would have to be my, you know, kind of my impression of how he influenced me on success growing up.
You know, that was quite a lesson for a young boy to learn from his dad. You know, your book talks a lot about winning. What does it mean to win to you?
Well, in winning is, you know, I say this from the stage because I get a chance to speak, and I say, you know, does Charlie Sheen really know what winning is? You know, and everybody kind of laughs, and so we know this. It's not how much money you have or your 5 minutes of fame or whatever. It's much deeper than that. And there's really eight things in life that everybody wants. Everybody wants to be happy and healthy and reasonably prosperous. They want to have friends and peace of mind and security and hope for the future. And those are what life is all about. You know, winning is not about a commercial you see on TV for 30 seconds. It's about the things that money can't buy. And he taught us all as our family dad early on. And so when we say you're born to win, we believe that every person God created for a purpose with a plan. We've got to discover that, and we have to shoot for these eight things. You know, peace of mind. I mean, we got to know eternally where we're going to be, happy and healthy and good family relationships. These all make up a successful life, and so that's what our view of winning is.
Also, in your book, you talk about planning, preparing, and expecting to win. Can you share some of these thoughts and the three steps you mentioned?
Yeah. The book Born to Win is based on Dad's famous quote that he gave for years, and it said this, you are born to win, but in order to be the winner you were born to be, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and then and only then can you expect to win. And so I'll use a football analogy, since most people in the United States watch American football. And the coach, and this will work with any sports, the coach puts together the game plan. So you spend a lot of time understanding the opponent, what your strengths are, what their strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what the opponent's weaknesses are, and you put together a game plan. And so in life is the same way. We've got to plan to win. And then once the plan is done, we got to go out and prepare. So in a game, in a football sense, you go out and you practice every day. You run the plays. You lift weights. You exercise. You eat right. You get enough sleep. In the business world, you know, we do the same thing. We train and develop our team. We make sure we have the right resources, the right material. We really work on our marketing pieces to make sure they're effective. And then once you do those things, once you put the plan in place and you've done all the preparation, then it's time to go out and play the game. And if you've done that preparation, you can expect to win. And the challenge is our culture is backwards. You know, we have an instant culture that says, hey, I should just show up and win. I mean, kids go out and they compete, and whether they win, lose, or, you know, play half the game, they still get a trophy. And sometimes it's okay to recognize participation, because that's a big step for some people. But at the end of the day, what we should really be recognizing is the planning and the preparation. If somebody puts everything into the planning and the preparation, they've already won. It may not win this game, but eventually you're going to win. And so that's what the book is about. The first 80-90% of it's about that idea of planning, preparing, and then you can expect.
That's great advice no matter what you do. Planning is so important. In the last chapter of your book, you make a strong connection between your personal life and being a business leader. Can you share with us and with our listeners, you know, the number one reason your career exists?
Yeah, Bill, this is awesome. one of my good friends, his name is Howard Partridge, and he's the exclusive business coach for Ziegler. So he's been working with business owners and entrepreneurs for almost 20 years now. And I called him and I said, Howard, because we're doing all these projects together, I said, Howard, we're writing this book. We're writing the book Born to Win, and we're taking all the legendary principles that Dad's taught for years, and I'm trying to connect it to the business life. I said, do you have something for me? And he sent me that quote, and it says this. And you can interchange this word. I'll use it several different ways. He said this: your business exists, or your career exists, or you know, your vocation exists. What you do exists for one reason and one reason only: as a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Your job, your career, your business exists for one reason only: as a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. Well, think about it. I mean, we spend, what, 40, 50, 60 hours a week on the job, maybe more. If you're an entrepreneur, you own your own business, it's probably more than that. The only reason you're doing that, the only reason you're making that time investment is because your business, your career, your job is a vehicle to help you get to where you want to go. Now, the tragedy is that so many people don't take the time to write out in detail what their dreams and their life goals are. And so when we work with people and we talk about them being, doing, and having all that life has to offer, that's where we start. We say, what are your dreams? What are your life goals? And the reality is most people are in the right business or the right career, but they don't have alignment. They haven't sat down to figure out, okay, how does this help me achieve my life goal? And when they do, things really, they radically change, because there's a sense that so many people, they just go to work for a paycheck. And that's a tragedy, because when you realize this, when you realize the better you do on your job, the faster you're going to get your dream, then all of a sudden you don't go to work for a paycheck anymore, you go to work for a dream. And that's a lot more fun and a lot more compelling.
It's definitely a lot more fun. It's no fun to go to work if you don't really feel inspired. By the way, I did see Howard Partridge on a YouTube video, and he was quite impressive. Go ahead.
He's dynamite. I tell you, we love him.
I wanted to talk a bit about your new program for Ziegler Inc. called the Ziegler Legacy Certification Program. Let's hear about that.
Well, this is the program right now that I am most excited about. As we already said, Dad passed away a little over a year ago, and we estimated that in his life he impacted over 250 million people. I mean, when you look at the worldwide impact, thousands of presentations he gave, the millions of books that have been sold, I think over 30 million downloads of just one of our podcasts, you know, we're talking a huge influence. And at the same time, people in the world today need our core message more than ever, and our core message is simply hope and encouragement. Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs encouragement. And if that's the promise, they need a plan to get there, right? We never give a promise without a plan. So if the promise is hope, and we're going to encourage you along the way, then we need to provide a plan for that. And so we realize that there's no way we can impact the world without the help of other people. And so what we've done in the Ziegler Legacy Certification Program is we've simply taken Dad's core materials on relationship building, personal development, and goal setting. We've created three different presentations, three workshops, if you will, and we put it together to where we now can certify other people to teach and train and speak on this, and they'll be able to be branded as Ziegler Legacy Certified Trainers. So that means that no matter where you are in the world, we have people in Hong Kong who've done this. We're going into South America with this, all over the world. They're going to be able to take the Ziegler content into their own community as a certified Ziegler Legacy Trainer, where we equip and train them to do that. So to me, that just fulfills, you know, Dad's core philosophy, which is that famous quote, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. There's so many, like you know, with Better Worldians, there are so many people who they yearn to make a difference where they are. You know, that's what they live for. They're doing it in their own way every day in their community. And so all we're doing is we're taking the Ziegler content and philosophy and putting it into a program that makes it easy for somebody else to internalize and then teach to their own community.
Now, do you have many different speakers in the program?
We just started. So we started last November. We had 26 people come through and get certified. Our next class is coming up here in about a month. And our goal is to have 100 by the end of this year. And, you know, obviously we want to have far more than that before we're done. But we want to reach every corner of the world. So it's growing very fast.
That sounds like a great goal. Now, how can people find out more about the program? There's probably some listeners that would want to be involved in the Legacy Certification Program.
We have everything on our website at Ziegler.com.
Okay.
And so you can go there. And, you know, because today's world is so connected so much with social media, and I know you guys are all over social media, one of the great places to go look is the Zig Ziglar fan page on Facebook. We have over 1 million likes. It's growing by 5,000 or 6,000 likes a day. And that's where all the quotes are. We have quote posters. They're easy to share. And then we will make announcements of things coming up. So that's another hub that anybody can go to. You can go there, get inspired, get motivated, get a lift for the day. And then if you scroll down a little bit, you can find out all the things that we're doing right now. So that's another great resource.
Well, yeah, I was very impressed with that page. I saw that you have 1 million likes on the Zig Ziglar page, and also that 2 million people were talking about it. Which is quite unusual. That just shows the widespread interest people had in the past and continue to have. I always loved Zig Ziglar. Also wanted to find out more about what you do with your consulting business. I hear that you do consulting with small businesses.
Yes, we do. So we teamed up with Howard Partridge, and we have a program that's called the Inner Circle. And what we do is we teach business owners, small business owners primarily, how to systemize their business. So business is really made up of five key areas. There's marketing, sales, operations, administration, and leadership. And the last chapter of the Born to Win book, we go into this in detail, and we have assessments in there and all that kind of good stuff. But really what happens is this. Somebody starts their own business for whatever reason. Michael Gerber calls it an entrepreneurial seizure. You know, one day we just wake up and we get tired of doing what the boss says, and we say, hey, I can be my own boss.
That right? Sounds like it.
So we start our business, and we have fun, and it's exciting, and then all of a sudden we realize that the stuff that we like to do is only taking up 10 or 20% of our time, and the stuff we don't like to do is taking up 80% of our time. You know, if you're a great technician, you may not really enjoy marketing, or if you're great at marketing, you may really not like doing the books. And so you realize you're stuck, so you need some help. So what you really need to do is systemize each area of your business. And we teach a methodology and a process whereby any small business can systemize everything so that it runs turnkey. I mean, the ultimate goal is to create a business where you can go on vacation for a month and it works flawlessly with you gone. No emails, no panic phone calls, everything just works. And this is kind of based on a quote. One of the people at our coaching program is blessed to live on the beach, and one of their neighbors is a billionaire. And this guy in our system, he gets the mail for this billionaire. And in return, the billionaire will drop some wisdom on him every now and then. So they were having coffee, and he asked this guy, he said, what's the secret to business? And the billionaire said this. Now, his gift as a billionaire is he buys businesses that are in trouble, and he turns them around. And he either sells them or keeps them. And this is what he said. He said, the secret to business is real simple. You build your business to sell, and then you don't sell it. Now, think about that for a second. If you build it to sell, who's going to buy it? Somebody who wants a turnkey operation, somebody who doesn't need your day-to-day input to make it run. Because if they're buying it from you, that means you're moving on. So you build a cell and you keep it. And now if you're in the family business like we are, this is even better because we love to keep successful business in the family, pass it on to our kids and grandkids. And what we need to pass on to them is a turnkey operating system, not a nightmare, not something that depends on my own personality and skill set, but something that runs on business principles on a daily basis. And that's what we do. Now, the thing that's very unique about our positioning is that we've discovered that the number one reason that business owners struggle is because their personal life is out of balance. You know, they don't have the right family relationships, or maybe they're physically not in good shape, or whatever. And that's where Ziegler comes in. That's where our foundational 50-year track record of helping people be, do, and have all they can be. When you combine that with the business processes, then you've got a home run. So a great business operating turnkey is a reflection of a great individual who's operating their life in character and in balance. And so we connect both of those together. So we help individual business owners become successful on the personal side of their life and in the business side.
Sure, that sounds like a dream to most small businesses to go away for a month and not worry about anything. They should look into your business services. Anyway, on another topic, I wanted you to tell us about Ziegler Women. What is that?
Well, Ziegler Women, my sister Julie, who is a speaker, Julie actually started editing dad's books, gosh, I'm going to say 20 years ago. And she's edited over almost 30 of dad's 32 books.
Oh, wow.
Okay, and she's also a speaker. So she teamed up with her daughters, Amy and Dee Dee, and they founded a group called Ziegler Women. And basically what they do is they get groups of women together and they talk about, women being successful in life and in the marketplace. And it's just focused towards that kind of a group. And they're all dynamic in their own way. They've overcome and done so many different things. So it's all rooted in that Ziegler philosophy, but it's really geared towards professional women and moms who they want to raise their kids and see them be successful, and they also want to do things in the community and at work. So that's what that group is geared towards.
That's amazing. This is Ray again, Tom. I just wanted to make a comment and get a reaction from you. I just saw a special on Vince Lombardi's life, and talk about preparation. Apparently, after he came 9 yards short of his goal of winning a championship, and by the way, that happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, he came in back in the locker room and told his team at the end of that loss, the end of the year, this will never happen again. And he was so sure of this never happening again because his preparation was legendary. In fact, I think John Madden was actually on the show saying that as a young rookie, he sat in the back and watched 8 hours of Vince Lombardi teaching and illustrating the techniques of a power sweep. One offensive play took 8 hours to describe, and that was the planning and the preparation. So you could clearly see when he went on that football field, he expected to win. And if he didn't, he knew that the planning and preparation that would follow would absolutely assure that.
Yeah. I tell you, that reminds me of my dad. We were about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, we were flying in. Dad was going to speak. And soon after the plane took off, Dad got his manila folder out. And he had all his notes in there, and he's working. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? I knew what he was doing, but I wanted to find out, right? And he said, well, son, I'm preparing my talk for tomorrow. And I looked at him, and I said, Dad, you've given this speech 3,000 times. Why are you working on it so hard? Most people didn't know this, but Dad prepared at least 3 hours for every presentation he ever gave, even though he'd given it thousands and thousands of times. And he said, son, there's two reasons why I'm working on my talk for tomorrow. Number one is there are people in that room who've never heard me speak before. I have one chance to make a first impression. I need to be better than I've ever been. I need to be on my A game. And number two, he said, yes, it is true. I've given a version of the speech thousands of times. But last week, I met with the vice president and the president of this company, and this is their big kickoff for their sales team this year, and they gave me some inside information. And if I can weave that into the talk, and then he said he got really excited. He said, I was looking at the newspaper yesterday, and their industry's going through some changes. And if I could weave some of the stuff I learned from that one article into this talk, then maybe, just maybe, there'll be somebody in the room who realized that I took the extra time, care, and attention to make the talk specific to this group. And maybe that little extra time, care, and attention that I spend will get them moving and motivated to try something that I recommend. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, that little bit of extra input that they do will be the little change that makes the big difference in their life.
Sure, that was a big difference. Matter of fact, I challenge any of our listeners, if they've ever seen Zig Ziglar not hit his A game, please let us know, because I don't think that's ever happened. So we need to take another break. I'm sorry right now. We will be back very shortly. We want to talk more with Tom Ziglar, and we'll be right back.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a Better Worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
We're back now with Tom Ziglar.
Hi, Tom. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. How's it going?
It's going good. I think it's time for the sun-to-sun chat here.
Right.
You know, I was also blessed with really successful and inspiring parents. And, you know, listening to you, I see all these amazing similarities between our experiences. You know, I heard you mention earlier that you've worked at Ziglar, you know, you say your whole life. And I always tell people I got an MBA from the Hansel School of Business. And I know your dad said to you to go after everything with 100% integrity and effort, and I remember my dad pressing me to follow my dreams. It's interesting that after many years on my own working, those dreams brought me back here to work with them. So I guess my first question for you is, you know, how did you decide to join the family business?
Well, I tell you what, I'll give you – it's a two-part answer. When I got married, I needed money, and my life goal at that point was to be a professional golfer. So I played college golf. Then a year after I graduated, I traveled all over the country playing in amateur events. And when I wasn't playing and traveling, I was working at the warehouse. And I worked hard on my game for a number of years. And when you get to that level, I was at the level where I could get into a lot of the tournaments the top players were in, but there was still a significant gap between myself and you know, the people on the PGA Tour. An amateur doesn't know much about it, thinks that we're pretty close to each other, you know, because hey, I'll shoot 71 and they'll shoot 69, and you know, those two shots make all the difference. So as I was working, and I was working my way through the warehouse while I was supporting my golf habit at the time, I moved into sales. And boy, did I just fall in love with sales. And I started seeing the impact and the results that people would get from the material. People calling up crying, talking about how their life was totally changed. And I thought it would be a devastating decision to give up on golf. When I finally said, you know what, I like it here, I'm going to do sales, it wasn't devastating. It was actually exciting because I knew two things. One, I knew I was being called into what I was going to do. And two, I knew I'd given it 100% on the other side. And so people who have regrets, it's generally because, A, they're settling for the next thing instead of really getting excited about it, or B, they didn't give the first thing 100%.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, once I made that decision, it was easy. And we moved in, and you know, I've loved it ever since. There's been trials and tribulations, and you know how it is to work with family. It's not all roses every day.
Did you find that you were a born motivational speaker like your dad?
Oh, absolutely not. So, I mean, to be frank, until about 4 years ago, I resisted going out and speaking. And, it's not that I didn't enjoy it or think I, you know, was qualified. I had this really, I don't know where it got in my head. This wasn't Dad at all. But I thought when I went to speak, people would think, oh, there's Tom Ziegler. He needs to be like Zig Ziglar. And 4 years ago, it just hit me. Wait a second. People want me to be myself.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so then it's like the ta-da or the lights come on or whatever, and Dad's quote came back to me. And he never said for me to go be Zig Ziglar. He said to go out there with integrity and use the gifts that God gave me. So I'm low-key. You know, I don't run around on stage and kneel down like Dad did. That's not me. I bring energy, but it's a different kind of energy. I'm more of an in my head thinker, and Dad, boy, I mean, he could just, his voice tone alone gets people's heart racing. So once I figured it out that people in today's world, people are smart.
Uh-huh.
If they think you're faking it or putting on a mask, they won't believe you.
No, I think that's right, especially right? To people are looking for authenticity to connect to. You know.
But once I realized, wait a second, I just got to be the best version of me possible, then it was fun. So now I go out and speak, and it's fun. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to spend the rest of the segment then talking a bit about the principles and philosophies that have made you and your father so beloved, but also what make you, you know, we believe, better worldians. One quote from your dad is, "You will get all you want in life if you help enough other people get what they want." So tell me what you think that means to you.
Yep, that one's pretty simple, and people sometimes will misread it. First off, your motive is first and foremost on helping somebody else get what they want. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, you've heard the quotes about seek first to understand and then to be understood. That's a great thing. So you go into a situation and, you know, I actually wrote an article for salespeople today, and I said a great sales question isn't even a sales question. It's a life question. And the question is this, you know, what are your dreams or what are your goals? So if you're in with a customer selling a widget and you've got a relationship and you say, hey, by the way, I don't know if I've ever asked you this. What are your goals? What are your dreams for this business? When they start to share that with you, then all of a sudden you can help them not only by the solution that you provide in your product or service, but in a much bigger area in a way that may not even benefit you at that time. And when somebody sees that, it changes the whole nature of the relationship. Dad, there's a famous quote. I think Ben Franklin's grandfather said this quote. You've probably heard it before. It's, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
Dad took that quote and he Ziglarized it. He added two words at the end of it. He said this, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them.
Yeah.
And it's about them personally. Mm-hmm. And so you can have everything in life you want, if you help enough other people get what they want. It's really about caring about them personally and about serving them first. And it's really the golden rule rewritten. And that's the way we operate our business. That's the way we like to treat each other around our company. It's the way we talk to our customers. And it's just a great milestone. It's a great mile marker, I should say.
Well, I also really liked a quote I heard from you recently. Dreams are the edges of the puzzle of your life. I'm just teaching my daughter, who's 3 years old, to do puzzles now and teaching her to start with the edges. And what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, I tell people I'm a nerd. And so this is one of my nerdy quotes. It's kind of deep. Your dreams are the edges of the puzzle of your life. So I illustrate it with two ways. First off is, how do you do a tabletop puzzle? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just asking you, Greg, when you start a tabletop puzzle, how do you do it?
Oh, sure. It's like I was saying that I'm teaching my daughter, I start with the edges, you know?
You just start with the edges. They did this study in elementary schools, and what they did is they built the whole school. Everything was 100% complete, except for they didn't have a fence around the playground. The behavioral psychologist, they went outside, and when the recess bell rang, they watched what the kids would do when they came out for recess. When the kids came out, they saw this area, you know, this huge, vast amount of space. And instead of using all the space, what the kids did after every class, every recess, is they would either stay on the blacktop or the playground equipment or right next to where the teachers were. They had all this space, and they only used 10% of it. So after a number of days, they put the fence in, and immediately the kids started using 100% of the playground. Now they were playing catch and tag and frisbee and football and all the things that kids do. Our life is the same way. We're born with a set of skills and talents, and you know, we're raised and we have experiences. That's like the playground equipment in this illustration. And we spend most of our time playing on the playground equipment, but we have all this extra space that we can run and grow into, but we don't take it until we write down a dream. Putting a dream out there, you know, maybe the vacation you want to have or the college fund you want to leave or the difference you want to make in people's lives or, you know, nonprofits that you want to fund. As soon as you put that dream out there, and you go to sleep, and then you really start dreaming, what happens is your brain connects where you are to where you want to go. And that territory that was unclaimed, that was yours to begin with, but because the fence wasn't there, the border wasn't there, the edge wasn't there, you never ventured into it, now you got that edge.
Yeah.
Now you can venture out into it. And so that's what we teach with people with life goals and dreams, is you set that out there. You set that stake out there, and it stretches you from where you are to where you want to go. That's what that quote means.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. It reminds me of the quote that really jumped out to all of us here. Building a better you is the first step to building a better America, which I love. And we would add, I think, by extension, a better world. And so I wanted to ask you, how do you think bettering oneself can help make it a better world?
Well, first off, we're created and built for relationships. Mm-hmm. And the ability for us to have a quality relationship is limited by the type of person that we are. So as soon as we work on ourselves, as soon as we improve our character, our attitude, our discipline, our work ethic, all those things, as soon as we start working on ourselves, the quality, the breadth and depth of the relationships go up. Mm-hmm. And when we start building winning relationships, that has a ripple effect. You know, somebody asked me once, what does legacy mean? And I said, you know, I think legacy is the sum total of all the impacts that you have on others' lives. So if you impact somebody and then they impact somebody and then they impact somebody, your legacy extends out, you know, three or four generations, three or four different levels. The bigger the impact that we have depends on the character and integrity and work ethic and amount of frequency that we do things. It's a pretty interesting. We have a six. I call it a performance formula, and it's simple. It's A times A times S equals P. Attitude times activity times skill equals performance.
Yeah.
Right. And attitude is the huge multiplier, because you can have great skill and a lot of activity, but a horrible attitude, and you're really having a negative impact on the world. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about somebody in work who's just, you know, they just don't like people. You know, the more people they talk to, the more they cost the company. I mean, it's a fact. But
gotcha.
All of a sudden, you get that attitude right, and that activity goes up, because attitude will drive activity, right? If I'm excited, I'm going to do more things. And if I'm excited about doing the right things, and I naturally want to improve my skill, then immediately my performance goes up. So you add integrity to that equation, and then attitude times activity times skill times integrity, that equals legacy.
Well, this equals an amazing show today, Tom. I'd like to congratulate you. This has been an amazing experience. I'll tell you, I can feel Zig Ziglar's presence here, and I'll tell you, if I was in the same place and one day I hope to be that he's in right now, I'm sure he can look down upon this whole experience with a lot of pride that he's you're continuing to carry on that amazing legacy.
Thank you.
Very, very welcome, and thank you for joining us. You can find out more about Tom Ziglar's work by going to Ziglar.com. Tom, once again, all of us would like to thank you for joining us on Better Worldians Radio.
Thank you so much, Ray, Mary Sue, and Greg. It was awesome.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Please join us next week on Better Worldians Radio. As we always do, we have an excellent lineup of guests in the coming weeks. And if you know an unsung Better Worldian who would make a great guest on our show, you can send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. We'd like to remind everyone that you can still be part of a miracle by simply sharing our video challenge and help heal 10 disabled children. It's that easy. Just go to colorwithkindness.com, watch the video, and share it with your friends. Give these kids the gift of a lifetime. Once again, we'd like to thank everyone today for listening. You can join the Better Worldians community at betterworldians.com. And until next time, as I always say, be a better worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at BetterWorldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world.